Nick Jeebus is going to be joining us. He's a media reporter with the Daily Caller website, and we've got a lot to talk about with Nick, including the story about what Obama knew about the Russians and the elections.
Now, did that surprise you when you found that out, huh?
Nope, not at all.
It didn't me.
Nope.
But boy, you would have thought the way they went after Donald Trump that this never happened before.
Exactly. And Nick is with us, Brad.
Okay, Nick is on the line. Nick, good morning, good morning.
Hey.
Hey, Nick, welcome to Brad and Dan. How are you, buddy?
Oh, good to be back, Dan. Doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. Say hello to Brad.
Hey, Brad, how are you? Good morning.
I'm here, too. Glad to be here with you. Boy, I'll tell you, the story we got is really incredible, some of the information that that you have put together. It really is... really is something.
Well, Nick, let's start with the story that was on the Daily Caller website, dailycaller.com, about Obama perhaps knowing about the Russians being involved or trying to interfere in our presidential election as soon as 2014. What do we know about this?
Well, we know that they were warned that Russia was prepping to disturb the elections, and as is common, this has been happening for years, it seems. A few intelligence officials have said that Russia's been trying to hack for years, but I think that they thought they were going to win in 2016. They've been thinking Hillary for years, and I think as long as they knew it wasn't going to disrupt her, they didn't have any problem turning a blind eye, rejecting intelligence reports. And someone in the article, they got a quote that said that they didn't want to mess with the Russians. But I think it goes a little deeper than that. I think it's them just basically covering up any connection to Russia. And lest we forget, Obama was caught on a hot mic saying, you know, in my second term, I'll have a little more flexibility to work with Russia. So something stinks here, and they're trying to deflect as best they can. But it seems that there's more to this story than meets the eye.
Now, do you believe that they'll go easier now on President Trump because of this hitting the news the way it is?
You would think they would, but then again, I've seen such a reckless abandon by the media, no matter what the evidence is, to try to take down Donald Trump. And they've admitted on camera, even Van Jones, a contributor for CNN, saying that Russia's a big nothing burger. So I think they're going down with the ship. So as much as this should maybe give a little bit more room for President Trump, I think the grip is only going to get tighter. It's only going to get more out of control and salacious. And it'll be continuing the trend that we've seen since he got elected.
Now, Nick, this investigation by Bob Mueller into the presidential election of 2016 and Russia's involvement, might it go back to 2014 and the Obama administration and what President Obama knew about the Russians?
I think it has to. I think to show, you know, that there's no impropriety there, I don't think Mueller wants to be seen as completely partisan. And I think with a little pressure from people in the administration and maybe some in the media, if they were doing their job, it should go back to President Obama, because there are obvious ties there, not just between the Trump administration and Russians, between Democrats and Russians, prominent Democrats. I think the DNC also has to be investigated in relation to this. There are a few things that they've been neglecting in favor of crucifying Donald Trump and his family, and I think, yes, it should expand, and hopefully it will. But I've got to be honest with you, I've never seen something like this. It's unprecedented. It doesn't even compare to the Bill Clinton special counsel. This is just, you never know. So you would hope he would, but it's just so hard to tell with him. I got to be honest.
Really? So you think it could be that partisan?
Yeah, I mean, he hired Clinton attorneys, and you know, they had donated to the Clinton campaign, and he doesn't seem to be producing any evidence. A lot of people, even moderates and well-respected legal minds, are saying that he's on a fishing expedition. And even liberals in the media and ones that want Donald Trump out are, you know, very meekly, but still asking the question, where is the evidence? Why has Robert Mueller not found anything substantial to come out with that's giving us ammunition? They claim he's putting things together, but I think he's on a fishing expedition, and whether he finds anything or not is, I think, a question of time.
Okay, if he doesn't find anything, okay? If he doesn't find anything, and he's got to bring up, certainly, because it's out now, you know, in our profession, many of us are talking about it with this story hitting. They've got to say something, even though they might not want to. They've got to say something. Don't you agree?
Yeah, if they find nothing, I mean, they could drag this out another year and a half, really, and still look credible because the media is pushing it. Without the media saying that this is a, you know, an investigation that America needs and this is something we need to talk about every day, that'll last. It can last, like I said, another year or so, I think. But at the end of it, yeah, there is going to come a time where the reckoning arrives, and Mueller's going to have to stand up at a podium and tell the American people, here's what I spent your taxpayer dollars on, and here's what I found. And thus far, if I was a competent special prosecutor and I had information, I would have already come out with it and let the American people know this is where we're at in the investigation. This is what we know thus far that I can talk about. He hasn't done that. So, yeah, I think we are going to see a day, hopefully sooner than later, where he faces the music and tells the people what he's found, if anything. And I don't think it's going to be much.
What about this grand jury investigation? What about the FBI raiding Paul Manafort's house last month? What about all of that?
I think the no-knock warrant was ridiculous. I think to treat him like some kind of drug dealer, whatever he's done right or wrong, is overkill. It was a message. I think it was a shot across the bow to say that, you know, not only a warning to the Trump administration, but like I said, they need traction in the public. And to show that they're raiding Trump administration or Trump officials' home and doing it with such vigor, it gives them kind of a PR victory for people that want to see Trump thrown out. And whether he did right or wrong, I don't think it's related to Russia. He had a lot of real estate deals. He had other business dealings that they're looking at. So it's a domino effect. He's hoping to find something criminal, you know, somewhere in his dealings, in his paperwork, in his business. And then you grab him and you say, okay, now we're going to talk about Russia. And whether it's true or not, they may use that to twist him and get him to say things that you would hope are true. But when you're holding something, you know, you're holding an axe over someone's head, it's hard to not take it with a grain of salt. So I think they're fishing.
Wow. What I just want to just change the subject a little bit, if we can, to what's sure. going on now. Is this surprising to you? Dan and I were hitting this this morning, but all of a sudden, it is a big campaign to take down all of these statues all around the country that represent the South during the Civil War. And again, you just wonder how that is going to pan out. What do you think?
I think a lot of people are going to buckle to the political pressure, and I think those statues are going to end up being removed. And I have sympathy for people that are emotionally disturbed or upset by such statues, but I think it's very disturbing that when we erase one part of our history, what's to stop us from erasing another the next day? And it's like free speech. Maybe you defend something that you don't like or that it disturbs you because you're doing it to preserve the speech that you do want and the speech that is good. So just like that with the statues, what happens when all of a sudden people have take offense to the nativity scene, which people have, or crucifix, things like that? So I worry that it's so easy. All you have to do is yell, cause a violent protest, scream on TV, scream racism, and then all of a sudden there's no debate. It's already done. So it's not the substance of it that bothers me. It's just how quickly people can shout from the rafters, scream one thing, and then that's it, and the debate's done. So that's my thoughts on it. It's disturbing, and I hope that we can have more of a dialogue civilly and like adults.
Nick Jeevis, media reporter for the Daily Caller, our special reporter this morning with some very, very interesting observations here. So you think, Nick, and I think it's starting to flow in that direction, that they're really not going to get very much in their investigation of President Trump.
No, I don't. And I think, like I said, by now, something would have come out. They're so eager to jump on this and make it true, because if it's not true, then their credibility took such a hit when Trump won the election because they said he'd never win. And now that he's won, I think they're afraid that this is the final blow. If they're caught after spending so much airtime and wasting so many resources and getting so emotional over something that didn't yield any results, and it included taxpayer funding to get it done, then it's over. Then the mainstream media, I think that might finally break the monopoly of these networks that are obsessed with getting him removed. And they'll do anything to push it, to make it true, and that's why they're holding on. And any rational person, I think, at this point would have moved on or checked in once a month on the investigation, if at all. But now it's making a comeback. There have been a few things that have derailed it, but they'll keep pushing it, and I don't think they're going to find much.
Now, Nick, you had a story on DailyCaller.com yesterday about Republican Representative Ron DeSantis and how he suggested, and I believe he was right on, didn't matter what President Trump said in regards to what happened in Charlottesville, he was going to get criticism. Talk about that.
It's true. And, you know, I did an interview yesterday on Cheddar TV, that's the internet channel, and I was talking about that very thing. And I said that, you know, it might have done him well to have, you know, said something specific or named a few specific groups the way he does when Islamic terrorist attacks happen. But I maintain that his statement was still sound. And then after, as the day went on, as I watched more news and wrote a few articles, I realized that, yes, especially after Representative DeSantis spoke, that, you know, no matter what he said, he was damned if he did and he was damned if he didn't. And, you know, had he admitted or, you know, cited white supremacist groups, I mean, the next question probably would have been, well, who are you firing on your staff with links to those groups? Are you going to fire Steve Bannon? There would have been calls for it would have just kept going higher and higher and higher. Because unfortunately, with a biased media, if you give them a hand, they take an arm. And that's how it would have gone. He couldn't have done anything right. Does it mean that he did it perfectly? No. But does it mean he deserved that type of criticism and that kind of attack? I don't think so. I think it was over the top. They smelled blood, and they haven't rung his bell in a while. And they saw an opportunity, and they took it.
And, you know, this is just my opinion, since General Kelly has taken over. I think you're going to see Mr. Bannon history. I think he's going to be gone, don't you?
It's quite possible. He's bringing a good amount of press that's hurting the independents and the moderates that are going to have to support Trump, and they're going to have to vote in the midterms. You know, he is loyal to the president, and he did help him get elected. And I'm actually surprised that he wasn't caught up in the Scaramucci Priebus debacle, although the night is young, and that's the word on the street. But I think he has a little more staying power than those other guys. So I think maybe they'll let him stay on until the midterms if the map keeps looking positive. I think, though, if they start to see we're losing seats or we're losing ground, we're not going to get as many seats in the Senate that we need. Yeah, it's very possible that Trump fires him. And I mean, we elected a guy whose catchphrase is you're fired. So at any moment, I think anybody could go. Bannon now, yeah, he's definitely in the crosshairs, I'd say.
Well, and you know, it's interesting, Nick, because they say anytime Bannon's in trouble, he leaks to his former website, Breitbart. And Breitbart is all over the news this morning about Bannon in those crosshairs. It's amazing. You almost get the read on what could happen by what that website puts on.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it's funny. It's kind of contradictory. If he is leaking, then you'd think they'd be on his side 100%. But you're saying that now they're talking about even him losing his job.
Yeah.
So, you know, D.C. is a fickle town. Having lived here now and worked here, you know, everything kind of goes with the wind. And I think that, you know, if he comes back with a legislative victory or he helps the president achieve something that can't be ignored, then he'll buy himself some time and he'll definitely stay. But, you know, advisors like this do usually cycle in and out of the White House very often. So it wouldn't be too bizarre if he ended up leaving before the year was out. But I don't know. It's hard to deal with this White House. You never really can tell. Everything seems unprecedented. Everything seems like they're trying something new. And I don't know. It's hard to tell whether or not he's going to stay. I don't know if I can make a call on that yet.
Nick, as you look right now at President Donald Trump and who he is surrounding himself with, he's got two Marine Corps generals, and they seem to be taking over in certain areas. I mean, they make a decision and this guy's gone. They make another decision and he's gone. One of them made television last night. So I'm just wondering if there is a change in what Trump is doing, and that's why he's got these two Marine Corps generals working for him and with him now.
I think he needed to hit reset. That was key. He had had a team in place that was a skeleton crew that ran the place well enough, but Sean Spicer was not effective. SNL made him look like a fool, and that really hurt his credibility. Scaramucci was a sideshow. Whether or not it got Priebus out is debatable, but it was definitely not helpful to the credibility of the administration. So, yeah, to get two military men in positions of power that really are well-respected around D.C. and nationwide, that was key. Whether or not they're going to change his habits, though, remains to be seen. I don't think they are as much. I think they're going to change the way things are done internally, and they're going to change the way the staff runs and maybe, hopefully, stop the leaks or limit them and marginally disrupt them. But Trump tweeting, Trump talking tough, Trump being Trump, I don't think you could bring in any chief of staff that's going to stop that. And apparently, it's still working. People did elect him for that. So, and again, they keep showing polls in the media that say that, you know, these generals, they're not working and Trump's going to just be radical, all this stuff. But then again, the polls also said he was never going to be president. So I take them with a grain of salt as well. And I think that the people are still behind Trump. I think him being himself is a good thing for the electorate to keep him in power. And I think these generals are going to do what they need to do to clean house, and it's going to be we're going to be better as a country for it.
Nick, there's several stories on DailyCaller.com, and I want to get back just to what Trump said yesterday, yet again, about what happened in Charlottesville. He mentioned the white supremacists. He mentioned the neo-Nazis. And now they're out there, and there's stories on the D.C. that he still didn't go far enough, or it was too little, too late. Talk about that.
It's like to my earlier point, damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. They were always planning on saying that no matter what he said. Like I said, had he come out and said what he said yesterday, earlier, or the day of, they still would have found something, I think, that was lacking. This was insincere, or he says the right things, but his facial expressions didn't show he was truthful. So this was coming. This adversarial relationship is at a boiling point. The media has been embarrassed. Trump's been attacked. They're both angry. No love lost. So this doesn't surprise me in the slightest. They have, it almost seems like they have these responses ready. You know, if this scenario happens, this is what we're going to say. If he does this, we're going to say that. And it's just so practiced and angry. And I think that's why people don't trust the media anymore, because they're just unable to check their bias at the door and just give us the facts. And unfortunately, he did condemn what he should have, and he did condemn violence and white supremacy, and they just refused to admit it because that would be giving him credit, and they just can't stand that.
What's it like covering this president in Washington, D.C. at this time?
It is unprecedented. It is amazing. It's a roller coaster. I got to tell you, I've never felt more alive as a journalist because, you know, everything's always hopping. There's always a story. There's always something to look at. Sadly, there is a part of it that feels like it's become a team. You know, it's like a right-left or us versus them, when in reality, we as the press should be working together from all sides to help the people, to help protect them, to help get the word out, to help, you know, spread the truth. But, you know, the faction part of it does bother me. But with Donald Trump in office, it really is amazing to see people reject political correctness in droves. People are speaking their minds more. And I'd like to think that's, you know, in part due to our reporting on things and trying to shed light on things that the media has been trying to bury for years. So it's cathartic, but it definitely can be stressful. The town never sleeps. So but it's fun. I enjoy it.
Daily awesome. Caller, yeah. You're going to be back with us. You know that.
Oh, of course. I can't wait.
Nick, great job. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure. Keep it up.
You bet. You too. Take care.
I tell you.
Nick Jeavis, dailycaller.com.
There he is.
From Connecticut.
From Connecticut.
Yes.